praise is, let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, oh, what a wonderful day. Lord, your blessings, Father, to be able to rise and to feel that call in our hearts. Lord Jesus, what a wonderful day. Praying, Lord, that you would bless us. Come amongst us as you promised. Lord, look into our hearts. Touch us. See what we need, Father. Lord, and may you give us strength and revelation that we may walk pleasing in your sight as Enoch had the testimony. May we also, that we please you, Father. Let it be, Lord, I pray. Father, and pray that you would bless the few songs you laid on our hearts, that it would calm our spirits and clear our minds and prepare us for your word as it comes. We ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, our Only Believe books. I'd like to start on page 44. God leads us along. Truly, he's always leading us, saints, every step of the way. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us all in the night season and all the day long. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow,
God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Amen. So glad he's leading us, guiding us, brought us out of the sin and iniquity. Amen. Page 185. Amen. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord, amen, sing it again. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. Oh, I'm so happy since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord. Amen. Lord, thank you. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. Oh, aren't you glad that the Lord brought you out? Oh, aren't you glad that the Lord brought you out? Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? Aren't you glad? Amen. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord, amen. Sing that first verse one more time. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Amen. You ought to be so thankful, saints. Amen. You see yourself in His plan. Amen. Page 130, just over a little bit there. This is like heaven to me. I wouldn't want any other life, saints. Amen. Praise His holy name. We find many people who can't understand why we are so happy and free. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And this is like heaven to me. Amen. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Praise God. This is like heaven to me. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And this is like heaven to me. Oh, when I get happy, I sing and I shout. The devil don't believe it, I see. Oh, but I'm filled with the Spirit, there isn't a doubt. And that's what's the matter, amen. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. This is like heaven to me. Amen. Do you love this life, saints? Oh, I wouldn't take anything. Anything, saints. Oh, hallelujah. Praise His name. Brother Hamilton, would you come up for the offering? Praise His name. That's the blessing, if you will.
So thankful for what you've done for us, Lord.
Amen. Oh, what a day that will be. Let's sing it together. Oh,
promised land. What a big, glorious day that will be.
Precious Jesus. How many have something on your heart, need a request? Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, Lord, as a needy people. We're so thankful for all that you've done for us, Lord. And Lord, we can stand on faith, a revelation of the word that you've given to us in this day, knowing our positions, knowing, Lord, that, Father, the great plan that you've all laid out. Lord, how that we've come down through this time on earth. Lord, that we can express your attributes. Lord, that people can see that you're a Savior and a healer, and a redeemer. So Lord, we, in that, Father, in that plan, we come through this life with needs and problems. And Lord, that's what we're doing this morning. Lord, raising our hands, making note that, Lord, we have a need in our life. But Lord, also may we reach out by faith and claim that promise that you've made. Lord, you paid for it on Calvary. And we want to say thank you, Lord. And may we truly be as the one that came back and thanked you and give glory for what you've done for us. Lord, the remainder of the service, pray that you would just bless it. Bless the word as it comes. Open our heart, Lord, and reveal it to us, we ask. For we need revelation, Lord. We ask all this in your precious name. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Would you have a song this morning, Karen? I ask if you'd come.
God's grace and mercy is all I can seem to find. When I walk through valleys, climb mountains so tall, at times I slipped and stumbled, but his hand held on. He made a way for me. He carried If it wasn't for his mercy and without him, I cannot imagine where I could have been. My mind can't begin to fathom the depths of his love. Oh, the love of God goes far. Good deed can merit no When I see such love extended, I hang my head and cry. I know I'm undeserving, yet how thankful am I. Such mercy, such grace, such love, I can't comprehend. Oh, the love of God goes far beyond understanding. Amazing grace is all. Lord, in my feeble way, I'll just simply say thank you, Lord.
Amen. Let's stand together, if you would. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe, and ask our brother to come.
Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe,
precious Lord, we are so thankful for another opportunity to come and together around your precious word. And Lord, we've come soberly this morning, Lord, asking you to speak to our hearts through the way of your word. And Lord, I may be the one that is reading or rehearsing, but Lord, let us focus our attention to that it was you, Lord, that wrote these things down onto these pages for our admonition. The Lord, it would help us do a work in our lives, Lord, that would draw us closer to you and help us to keep our attention focused on the purpose for which we've been sent. And Father, we just ask your blessings upon the word this morning. And Lord, just ask you to bless our hearts to the hearing. And Father, we'll never fail to see that you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Don't you love him? Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn our Bibles over to Joshua, the 24th chapter. Take a little text this morning. Our pastor was asked to go and minister this morning for a little group that have came out of the Amish that's not too far from here. And so he is taking service for them this morning to try to help and be a benefit to them, praying that God's word will strengthen them and push them and help them, lead them in the right direction. But while we're here this morning, I got a little text, and I'll try not to go over my 30 minutes, but I might be a little lengthy this morning. I got quite a bit I want to read. I'm just praying that God will bless these to our hearts, and it may be a familiar text, and some may say, well, I've heard all of that before, but may we open up our hearts and just say, Lord, let me have a small portion this morning. It might be one scripture, it might be one quote, but if we all come hungry, God will feed each and every one of us with his word. But here in Joshua, the 24th chapter, and let's start here at the 14th verse, Joshua speaking to the children of Israel. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. Serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. May the Lord bless you in his word, and you may be seated. I'd like to take a little thought from that this morning, if we might, and just title it Choices. As we think there, as Joshua was telling them, choose you this day whom you'll serve. And you know, it's Brother Branham brought quite a few messages, and I'd like to bring some highlights from the message leadership and out of the message choosing of a bride, some of the things he said. And looking back at some of these things, but I'd like for us to go ahead and turn over, if you want to, go ahead and turn with me to Mark the 8th chapter. And let's think about these things this morning in Mark 8. Mark the 8th chapter, and we'll start here about the 34th verse and just read what Jesus was saying. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's is the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels. And we realize this morning that when you think about the choice, we realize God placed us here, and we'll read it in a moment, of some of the things the prophet said about being on a free moral agency. But even back in the beginning, they had a choice. So it started with Adam and Eve. God placed them in the garden, and he gave them his word, and they had a choice to obey God and live or to obey God and die. And we see the choice that was made, and it cost them to lose all that they had there in the garden, the beautiful everything that was around them and surrounding them. And how each one of us are on the same basis. God had to keep us all on the same basis that he put Adam and Eve. And as we gather this morning, I just want you to think about that. Each one of us, when we gather in here this morning, we've all are faced with a choice of God's word every day. When we rise out of the bed every morning, we're given an opportunity to live for God or to live to ourselves. And each day goes by, we have these opportunities. And to think that the choices that we make, we're either living unto eternal life or we're going to die in our sins, based on the choice we make daily, and seeing where God has placed us. And I want you to think about that, and I'd like to read quite a few quotes here that, starting, and just to refresh your mind back to these things, and it may seem elementary, but just let the Holy Spirit put it in your heart, and just meditate on it. And if you know Brother Branham said it, just say amen to it, and go on, even if it doesn't pertain to us, but let's see what he says here. And Leadership, preached December 7th, 1965. He said, remember this, that each one of us, young or old, the first step you ever made in your life, someone had to lead you. That's right. And your last step you ever make, someone will be leading you. Someone has to lead. And God has likened us unto sheep. And if anyone knows about raising sheep, the nature of a sheep, why, you know that a sheep cannot find its way around. He has to be led. Even in the slaughter pens, we find that they bring the sheep there, and he leads them up to the slaughter by a goat, and a goat leads him up. But when he gets up to the end of the chute, he jumps out, and the sheep goes right on into the slaughter. And we find that sheep cannot find his way around. And now the first step you've probably ever taken in your life, speaking of leadership, is probably the hand of some kind old mother. And them hands may be still tonight, out here in some cemetery somewhere. But that was the hand that held you and helped you make your first step. And then a mother taught you how to walk. And you made a few steps and then fall down and get up. And you thought you were doing great things. And then she turned you over to the school teacher. And then she began to lead you to an education of how and what you must do and how you must learn and so forth like that. And then after the school teacher got through with you, then you returned back. And your father got a hold of you. And then your father got a hold of you, he taught you perhaps a business and how to be a successful businessman and how to do things right. And your mother taught you how to be a housewife and how to cook and so forth like that. And then after they got through with you, then your minister or your priest got a hold of you. But now who leads you? That's the question now We're all led by something. We have to be. And how true this is, it's simple. He's putting it as simple as you can, and each one of us can look at our lives and see that growing from a child to an adult, somebody has always been there to be a guiding hand. Through our childhood, it's our parents, up through till we get into the workforce and become through school and education and then turned out into the workforce, someone's always leading and guiding you. And as we come to this realization of where we are and seeing what's taking place around us in this great society in which we live, I want you to remember this. This was in the greatest battle ever fought, and we've all heard it many times. Paragraph 52, and this was preached March the 11th, 62. He says, "Now do you know we've had wars after wars and rumors of wars, and all the earth stands, we'll have plenty more wars. But do you realize that there is really only two powers in all the universe? And of all of our differences between nations and the difference between each other and everything, it all amounts up to two powers. There's only two powers. There's only two kingdoms. Two powers, two kingdoms. All the rest, the little minor things, are connected with either one of those powers. And those powers is God's power and Satan's power. And every war, every disorder, everything that comes along is either controlled by God's power or Satan's power, because that's the only two powers there is. And that is the power of life and the power of death. And that's the only two powers. And Satan can only, his power he's got, it's a perverted power of God. It's no real power. It's a perversion of God's power. And everything that Satan has, death is only a perverted life. A lie is only the truth mistold. And adultery is an act, a righteous act misused. See, everything that Satan has got is something that was perverted, but it's a power. And we are today sitting here, and one of the other power is going to control us. And I want you to think about that in sincerity, each and every one of us. Every choice, every decision we make, we're making it by we're being controlled by one or two powers is influencing us in the decisions we're making. And we go through life every day and realizing God sent a prophet in this age to point out the pitfalls and to show us where we're standing. And how Satan is using and the great plan of God and how it was unfolded before us, but how Satan has come along to pervert it and try to tear it down. And each one of us standing here today, we're here because we've been sent for a purpose. We were born in this world, shaped in sin, born in iniquity. But God sent us each one here for a purpose. And this whole Bible, it's easy to go back and read everyone in there. And every son or daughter of God that this Bible speaks of, there was choices to be made. You can go back and look at the Hebrew children. They had a choice to make. They could have bowed to that image. Daniel, he could have quit praying three times a day. They had a choice to make. What was they going to do, serve God or man? And how we are not exempt today. We have an opportunity. We're standing here with the precious word of God laying before us, and each one of us have the opportunity today to choose who we're going to serve. Whether we're going to surrender our lives solely and completely unto Jesus Christ and to let him have that full preeminence and sway in our lives, or are we going to yield over to the flesh and to Satan and let him destroy our lives with his lies and tactics just to destroy and tear us down to from what God has predestinated us to be. You know, we see all of this happening around us. It's happening to each and every one. And every one of us sitting here today are not exempt. That's listening to what I'm going to read from these quotes and scriptures. It'll either bring us life or it's going to bring us judgment and damnation. It happens. God's word does not go out void, and it does not go out and just come back with no meaning. Amen. He meant exactly what he said. And you go back and you search the scriptures where God has said anything and someone disrespected him or turned him down, and you watch what followed when came upon him. And oh, may we truly take a seriousness of the opportunity that we've been given this morning with God's precious word in all of our life. God has placed us and give us each one an opportunity to come up and to be underneath the presence of the Holy Spirit. If we're sitting here today, God's grace has overshadowed us this far and give us this opportunity. Let us not spurn it away or just think it's a wasted time. I'm just sitting here filling another page. But the Holy Spirit is trying to get each one of our attentions, calling us. It don't matter whether we're young, old, or middle-aged, or where we're setting, God is trying to tell you there's a higher height for you in His Word if you'll take it. And if you want the choice, you can just be content to be where you are. But maybe God is asking and reaching out and got a higher plane for us. Are we willing to let Him lead us and to follow His guidance into the Holy Word? Brother Branham said this in the Message of Prisoner, preached July 17th. I believe this was 63. Paragraph 47. He said, "Now we're all born a free moral agent to make any decision that we wish to. And God justly does that, because He must put every man on the same basis, or He would have put He put the first man on the wrong basis that He put on free moral agency. See, we're just exactly tonight like Adam and Eve. There's no difference. Right and wrong sets before either one of us. Life and death, we can make our choice. It's up to you or me to make it, see? And that's the way Adam and Eve did, see? They made the wrong choice, and now by that put the whole race, the human race, under death and the penalty of death. But then God came down in the form of man, took death, paid the penalty of death, that His subjects that desired to be free could be free. And now if he took us without the same way that He did Adam and Eve, just pulled us through something, said, 'I'll save you whether you want to be saved or not,' then He put Adam and Eve on the wrong basis, you see. But each one of us has to choose this day between death and life. And every day we're faced with that decision. To whom you yield your servants to obey, His servants you are." And to think about that as the Paul was speaking those things. If you would, let's turn over here and read a very familiar scripture in Mark 10. The prophet used this in the Message leadership. And he read this many times. But I want you to think about this as we think about the choices and the opportunities that are laying before us. And as we read the scriptures, Jesus saying, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." He's bid each and every one of us to follow Him wholeheartedly, to leave behind anything. And you look back in the scriptures at the early disciples, when Jesus passed by and said, "Come, follow me," you look, every one of them left what they were doing and took out after Him to follow Him and to do as He bade. And how it's got to be the same today. When He says, "Come," He don't want just half of you. He don't want just part of you. He wants your undivided attention. He wants everything there is about you to be solely surrendered unto Him. And the Apostle Paul showed us that in Romans 12 when he said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." God has given us a blessed opportunity. May we truly take a hold of what He's given us. Here in Mark 10, very familiar, but we'll start about the 17th verse. "And when He had gone forth into the way, there come one running and knelt down to Him and asked Him, 'Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all of these have I observed from my youth.' And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And he said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me.' And he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, 'How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?'" And I want you to think about this as this man was wealthy in money, but you can be wealthy in a lot of other things. But I want you to think that Jesus, looking at him, knew what his problem was. He knew what he needed. And this young man was sincere. Come asking. And Jesus looked and saw his need and tried to show him. But Jesus couldn't just do it for him. He had a choice to make. The choice was his. He could have went and sold everything that he had and given it to the poor and took off after Jesus and had everlasting life. But he turned it down. For what? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Will a little bit of popularity? A little bit of fame? A little bit of money? What are you willing to sacrifice that your Lord has asked you to give up? That you would, to please men or to please people in general? Would you be willing to sacrifice and to say, oh, I'd rather have this than to have what God's given us? Each one of us are faced with the same choice each and every day this young man was faced with. Each day it's laying right before us. Who will we serve? Who will we yield our members to? And do we going to give God the full sway and the credit that His word is spoken and I must be in obedience to it? Or do I, oh, I don't need to obey that portion. That portion doesn't count to me. I'm not too concerned about that portion. You know, God sent a prophet in this age to cry out against the abominations and sins that was being done. You know, bobbed hair, women cutting their hair, women wearing makeup, men going out and doing all kinds of manner of things that was ungodly. And he come preaching a message trying to show that that was not Christ's nature. That was not who God was. But we turn a blind eye and we want to put a little makeup on our face. We want to trim our hair a little bit just to please man, to try to get over there. Well, the end of that, the prophet showed us, is death. There's no other alternative. It's God's way or no way. There's no only two choices to make, and the powers are governing which one you're going to choose. And the way you choose will truly decide where you will spend eternity. And oh, how we should think so carefully and cautiously as we look at every action, every motive, every objective. One word is all it takes to be wrong. One word disbelieved, one word I won't let my life surrender to is going to keep me from reaching the goal that He set forth. How we should bear that in mind. But I want you to think about that. This young man, as Brother Branham illustrated and showed, that his love was greater for that money than it was for that grand prize that was laying in front of him. And oh, may we be a people that truly let our sole attention be focused to God's word and that only as we see what He's laid out before us. But I want you to think about that. And Brother Branham, he goes on to say this in The Choosing of a Bride. This was preached April 29, 1965. In many things of life, we're given a choice. The way of life itself, it's a choice. We have a right to make our own way. This is paragraph 31. Choose our own way that we want to live. Education is a choice. We can choose whether we're going to be educated or whether we're not going to be educated. That's a choice that we have. Right and wrong is a choice. Every man, every woman, boy, girl has to choose whether they're going to try to live right or not live right. It's a choice. And choice is a great thing. But your eternal destination is a choice. And maybe tonight some of you will make that choice whether where you'll spend eternity. Before this service ends tonight, there will be one time that if you turn God down many times, there will be one time you'll turn Him down the last time. There is a line between mercy and judgment, and it's a dangerous thing for a man, woman, boy, or girl to step across that line. For there's no return when you step across that deadline, see? So tonight, it might be the time that many will make their decision of where they'll spend the endless eternity. There's another choice that we have in life, and that's the life of a companion. A young man or a young woman stepping out on life has been given a right to make a choice. And the young man chooses. The young woman has a right to accept or reject, but it's still a choice on both sides. Both man and woman, they have a right to choose. And also, you have a choice as a Christian. You have a choice of the church here in America so far that you can go to. That's your own American privilege. To choose any church that you want to belong to, that's a choice. You don't have to go to any of them if you don't want to. But if you want to change from the Methodist to the Baptist or Catholic to a Protestant or so forth, there's nobody can tell you or make you come to any certain church. That's our freedom. And that's what our democracy is. And every man can choose for himself. Freedom from religion, that's a great thing. And God help us to keep it as long as we can. But you also have a choice. Whether and when you choose this church, you can choose whether you in this church or whether you will choose a church that will guide you into your eternal destination. You can choose a church that has a certain creed that you might think that creed is just what you want, or that other church has their creed. And then there's the Word of God. And that's what's laying before each and every one of us tonight. We're not looking at any certain church. We're not even looking at this church. We're looking to God's Word to make our decisions and the choices in which what's been left on printed page for us to follow. The word has been preached and brought to our attention, and each one of us as recipients are responsible for the word that's been spoken to us by God. Each one of us has got to make that decision. God don't have grandchildren. Just because mom and dad served this message and followed Jesus Christ their whole life, That don't give me the right to it. It's got to be a personal affair between me and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just because mom and dad live right, that don't make it right for me just to get by with whatever. I've got to come the same way through repentance of the and forgiveness of sins and being filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit to make my destination sure. Search out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's a real thing, saints. We can't go on anybody's shirt tail. None of us in here. I can't hold on to our pastor and say, oh, because I believe what he preaches, I'm going in. That ain't going to work. It's got to be an individual affair. And each one of us has got to have made that choice that no matter what comes, what goes, I will follow the Lord Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And with him, while I surrender my life to have the full sway. And if I won't come under obedience, it's not obedience to a church. It's not obedience to a pastor, but it's obedience to God and his word. To go against that is what's wrong. That's where the problem lies. So oftentimes we think, well, my church just believes it this way. That's the way my church teaches it. No, God's word teaches it that way. God sent a prophet to declare that it was the truth, thus saith the Lord, from the front to the back. And how we must line up with it and never get our idea that I don't go to that church. I don't have to conform to God's word in that manner. God's word is the measuring stick in which we will measure by. And Brother Branham showed us and told us plainly, God's not going to judge that little bride by any church, but he will judge her by this precious word. And any of us that are lacking one word that we've been left to have in our lives, it's going to throw us into a bad situation. We must surrender ourselves. The children of Israel didn't have an option. When they came out, God told them exactly what to do and the way to get rid of their idols and go on. And that's what Joshua was trying to show them. Make your choice this day, even on up when Elijah on Mount, when the fire came down from God onto the altar, he told them the same thing. Make your choice this day and let it be known. And all how we must realize that God's word is the truth and the standard. And it doesn't matter what man comes along and tries to say this is okay or that's okay. If God's word has already said it, it's come down the line. That's the way it's got to be. And there ain't nobody got anything to add or take from it. It's got to be just precisely the way God delivered it to us. Amen. Let's see here. And let's just turn real quick. You talk about choices. Let's turn over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter with me, if you would. Amen. We might be doing okay. You might still get by with 30 minutes. Amen. Hebrews 11. And think about Moses, God's great prophet. But here in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and just read what Paul was saying about him in the 24th verse. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And I want you to think what Moses had laying at his fingertips. He was in line to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. Had all power, all rulership laying there underneath of him. Anything he wanted, money, wealth, fame, it was all there. He never would have had to lift a finger for nothing. He had it all. But he decided to lay it all aside, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. And by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And I want you to think about that. Each one of us, what it worth in this life is worth anything than serving Jesus Christ. When we look at our lives and see what the goal is and what the prize is for surrendering and following him to his fullness, what in this life would be worth anything compared to that? You know, when we're young, we look ahead of us and we think we got a lot laying ahead of us. But, you know, I'm not even that old. I'm only 40 years old, mid-40s, but you know, when you can look and see how it ain't been that long ago, I was just a child. And I can already see the end. If the Lord should tarry and let me live another 30 years, how quickly it will go and my life will be gone and but a vapor. Time just keeps passing on, but God's plan is eternal. And he set forth a destination and a time and a place for each one of us. And by God's grace, I know what's waiting for the little elect of Jesus Christ. And I know what's waiting for those that have failed to obey God's word. And it is a truth and it's a reality. And it's not a storybook, it's not a fable. But we are responsible to God to make sure that not just in this church at a church service, but every day that I arise from my bed and God gives me breath and strength in my body to live for Him, that every choice I make is for one purpose, and that's to honor my Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to make sure that it's Him only that I serve. And oh, how if we would take that approach every day. I want you to look at Satan's civilization. Look what all he's done. You know, a prophet came in this age screaming out against television and the perils that go with it. And look what Satan's done. You know, today you can't name them all. There's Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, WhatsApp. There's just abundance of things out there. And every one of them is a tool of Satan in his hands. They were every one a device of his. You say, well, but I can use it for a good purpose. That's absolutely truth. You can. But by God's grace, it'll only be His grace if you do. Because it's all set up to work on the mind where the greatest battle was ever going to be fought. God sent a prophet to show us these things, to declare that to us. And here we stand today with all of it. And how much time does Satan have to keep continually just putting it in? Putting it in. You know, it might not even be a bad thing. It can be so much as somebody's opinion on a subject that has nothing to do with much you don't think. But if it would be contrary to God's word in the slightest and you would agree with them and go down that road, look how dangerous it could be. And you may say, well, it was just this, his opinion on this certain thing. But what does God's word say about it? This is where we must know precisely what the truth is laying. But Satan is using each and all of these things to take us from God's precious word. He's trying to steal you away. He's trying to put that in front of you. Look, it's more exciting. It's more enticing. Look at what's happening. And you know, that's what's wrong with the social media world. They see everybody's life. They only see the fun events people decide to post and push out there for people to see. And they think everybody's got a perfect life. They think everybody's got it made. Everybody's got all this. But underneath, they can't see the turmoil. They can't see what's laying underneath. That they can't sleep at night. There's no rest. There's no peace. There's no joy. They're tormented day and night. And their mind is troubled. And they turn to alcohol. And then it's to drugs. And it's to cigarettes. And it's all these things. And it just destroys their body. And they don't understand. And you say, how do you know? Let me read you an example of one time that the prophet showed us that happened. And this was in the Message Respects, preached October 15th, 1961. Paragraph 113. He said, remember a certain young girl one night in Tennessee when I was going out the door preaching at a big Baptist church and was going out the door, and I felt led that night to call her to come to Christ. And she laughed in my face when I called her to come to Christ. And she happened to be one of the deacon's daughters. And standing at the door that night, she waited for me. And I come out and she said, I want you to know something right now. Don't you never embarrass me like that again. I said, God was calling you. She said, nonsense. I'm young and I've got plenty of time for that. Said, my daddy's got enough religion for all of us at home. I said, that's not enough for you, sister. Everyone has to have their own religion. She said, if I want anybody to talk to me about that, I'll get somebody that's got some sense and not somebody like you. And I said, go say what you wish to. You don't bother me, but someday you'll regret it. And not long after that, I passed through the same city. And here she come down the street with her underskirts hanging down, slopping with a cigarette in her hand, offered me a drink of whiskey, same thing. And here's her testimony. She said, you remember that night you called there and said that was the truth? She said, the Spirit of God was testifying to me that night, trying to get me to come. And said, since then, I could see my mother's soul fry in hell like a pancake and laugh at it. And that's what happened. She missed her opportunity. And look what her life turned into. Oh, it looked like fun. It looked like, oh, there was a great big world out there. A lot of things to get into. A lot of things to do. Look at what's taking place. But God's word was calling to her to come and follow Him. And each one of us tonight, God has spoken to each of us as individuals and said, come, follow me. And as a man, as a woman, as a young person, it doesn't matter. There's maybe many things out there that looks enticing. There's many pleasures that may be offered to us. Might be have a chance to be a great athlete and be offered much money to play in sports. What will you give in exchange for your soul? You might have a chance to be a preacher that can make millions and all have the greatest, finest congregation and the biggest churches, but what will you give in exchange for your soul? Is it popularity you're seeking? What is it you're after? When Jesus said, humble yourself and I will lift you up. How we should make sure that every day, every action, our sole purpose in life is to be surrendered to Jesus Christ and Him only, and to let Him live. Amen. This is in the Message. And we talked about Moses and the sacrifices he had to make. And I want you to think about our prophet in this last age, the sacrifices he had to make. He could have had big churches. He could have had the finest pulpit in the land. He had millions that wanted to follow him. And all he had to do was compromise on the word of Jesus Christ a little bit and just kept his healing ministry running. And there would still be shrines built all over this country with his name on it, just like Earl Roberts and the rest of them. But he didn't sacrifice his calling. He was faithful. And God testified to that. This was in the Message. But it wasn't so from the beginning. Preached April 11, 1961. This is just one place that Brother Branham talked about this. You can find it in many places, but this was paragraph 69. And he was talking about Danny Henry, who was a cousin to Marilyn Monroe. He said, he knew not one word of French. And I got it right here, which is going in a document of it. Many of you seen the businessmen, and that's exactly something what he said speaking to me. It was spoken to Brother Branham on February 11, 1961 in the Full Gospel Businessmen's Breakfast. Because thou hast chosen the narrow path, the harder way, thou hast walked of thine own choosing. He chose to take the path. God presented it to him, and he followed God's obedience, and he chose to walk that path. Cost him a wife, cost him a child. His disobedience did. But look at what all he suffered and went through in life. Look, all he could have had it made. He didn't have to do all that he did, but he chose to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He says, I can understand that. Moses walked of his own too. He didn't have to do it. I could have maybe had big meetings, big things, and a great lot of flowers and things too, but this is the way I have desired. Thou hast walked of thine own choosing. Thou hast picked the correct and precise decision. And this is my way. And because of this monumentous decision, a huge portion of heaven awaits thee. That's in the vision here, which you'll get. See, that he knowed nothing about it then. But what a glorious decision thou hast made. And here's what I don't understand. This is that which will give and make come to pass the tremendous victory in love divine. So I want you to think, everybody's got a choice to make, and it's not easy. Your choice in life may not be easy. Some of us made choices that caused family members to turn their back on us. Some of us had to make choices that family members hasn't spoke to us since we decided to follow Jesus Christ. But you know what? Jesus said, who can't leave father and mother for my sake? What good is he? But oh my, when God calls and says, come, follow me, there's something that stirs down on the inside that you must give it your all. And it's not just a church service. It's just not a prophet came, but it's a reality that Jesus Christ is speaking to you as an individual. His word is going forth and judgment is coming. We know it's going to happen. California is going to cave into the ocean. This world's going to shake and this country is going to be ashes one day real soon. It's coming. God doesn't lie. Look back through the scriptures. It's there plain as day. There, every word God said has come to pass. It's here. Look at the trees that's growing out there. Look at the sun that's shining. Look at the grass that's growing. God's word is declared. I will. I am he that was from the beginning and the end. God is great and he's declaring his greatness throughout everything. Oh, may we truly surrender ourselves to him, to serve him so wholly in him only. And keep our eyes focused to the goal and the purpose for which we've been sent. Someone is going to finish this race. And someone's going to be a witness in this day for Jesus Christ. There'll be young, there'll be old, there'll be middle-aged. But somebody is going to declare to this nation and this people, by what they do? No. But by what he will do through their body to show that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And living in the control tower of their heart. This was in the Message Leadership, preached December 7, 1965. And I'll just go ahead and it's kind of a duplicate, but I'll catch it what he was saying to get down here. He says, you have a choice of conduct. How you would conduct yourself, that's up to you. And you have a choice of a wife. You can go out and take your wife. You want to take a wife, you want to take one that's complementary to you and what your plan, the future home, should be. Could you imagine a Christian man going out and taking one of these modern Rickettas for a wife? Could you imagine a man thinking about that? What kind of a home is he going to have? If he takes a strip tease, a burlesque off the street out here, a street prostitute, and say, now wait a minute, how does she dress herself? See, wear shorts and things, she's a street prostitute. And you say, Brother Branham, oh, them little old tight skirts, looks like you're poured into a street prostitute. And Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after has committed adultery with her in his heart. Then he's got to answer for that and what she'd do. She presented herself. Who's guilty? Think of it. And you say, they don't make any other clothes. Well, they've got goods and sewing machines. No excuse, huh? Exactly. Now, I don't want to hurt you, and this is not a joke. This is thus saith the Lord from the scriptures. It's exactly true, friend. I'm an old man, and I haven't got much longer to stay, but I've got to tell you the truth. And if this is my last message, it's the truth, see? Don't, sister. Don't, brother. And you fellas that's hanging on to a creed and knowing the word of God being vindicated right before you, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and these realities that we have today, because of your creed, turn away from it. How can you be a son of God and deny the word of God that's predicted for the last days that we're living in? And I want you to think about that. This was one of the very last messages that he preached, trying to show us that we must be led by the Holy Spirit. We had no choice. We've got no other comfort but to know that he's living and he is with us and in us and leading and guiding every move that we make. And this was in the message leadership. Actually, before we go on, let's back over here in Luke, the 16th chapter, I believe it is. Is in the message leadership, and maybe this will spark your interest to go back and reread leadership. I'm just catching a couple of the highlights. But in there, Jesus kind of likened the rich man and the beggar Lazarus there together. And this is in Luke, the 16th chapter, in the 19th verse. But listen at the outcome for these two people. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, that so those which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And I want you to think about that. God's word is laying here in its fullness. God sent a prophet this end time age, and he declared the truths. And those that won't accept the full truths that he brought, if he was to rose from the dead today and come here and preach it, they wouldn't accept it if he was here in flesh. God sent his prophets, and his word has come, and it's laying here. And if you won't accept it now, you wouldn't accept it if he was standing here in the flesh. You better make your calling and election sure. While you have time, God's word is laying before us. May we grab a hold of what he's given us. Amen. And this is, you sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This is in Leadership, October 31st, 1965, and paragraph 137. You must make a choice, and your choice will determine what your eternal destination will be. Remember, Jesus asked each one of us, follow me. If you want life, see leadership, follow me, and you'll have everlasting life. And I'm sure even to us adults, we get something out of this. If you want life, you have to accept it. If you want religion, you accept it. But what you have to do, what you accept, that's what you'll get. But to me and to you and to these little children, remember, you have an invitation. Jesus said, come and follow me and have life eternal. And that invitation is still going forth tonight to any that will hear his voice. As he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open up, I will come into him. All saints, may we open up our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ in the fullness of his word. We might have been serving the Lord for a long time, or we may have only been serving for a few short days. But there's a seriousness and a soberness to his invitation of come and follow me. And there's no room for make-believe, for following, and just kind of half-heartedly. But he wants all of you. He wants everything that there is about your being to solely follow him. To surrender our lives to a church? No. To surrender our lives to a pastor? No. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ and watch him do the work for you in your life. And how does it start? In prayer and repentance before God and asking him, Lord, take me in your hands. And oh, if you've never been baptized, repent. And be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This calling is unto you and to your children, as many as the far off as the Lord our God shall call. The prescription was handed down on the day of Pentecost, and it's still in effect today. Oh, may we truly give our soul and wholehearted purpose to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, if maybe I've never made that true decision, but Lord, I want to start today, you will be the center of my attention. But oh, may we think soberly and think seriously about the choices that's laying before us each and every day. We're living in a time when the squeeze is going to start to get real. It's going to start to be a little more pressure. Things are going to start to happen around us, and we know it's coming. I don't know how. I don't know what will take place. But we know through God's word it's going to happen. Where will we be? If we're trying to stand on our own in our own intellectual faith, we'll never make it. But if we surrender ourselves over to Jesus Christ solely and let him have the full preeminence in our lives, he will give you the grace to stand through whatever comes our way. But oh, may we truly yield ourselves to him. And remember, we have choice. Every day you've got a choice. Who will you serve? Amen. I pray you can take something from it. You know, there's a lot of things we could preach on. There's a lot of things that we would like to preach on. But you can only do what the Holy Spirit gives you leadership and guidance to bring. But I pray through God's precious word, not what I've got to say or what I can bring in my own ability, but what God has left here, may it stir your hearts to sincerely and soberly consider what God's given us in this hour. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, Footprints of Jesus.
Footprints of Jesus. Leading the way, footprints of Jesus by night and by day. If I would follow,
if there's any that the word maybe has touched your heart today and you feel that longing for a closer walk, just hold your hand up. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed, but hold your hand up to God and just say, Lord, you know my heart. He searches the reins. He knows what we think. He knows what we need. And he's here with us today. And just ask God to dip into your heart whatever it is you have need of. Whatever's longing in your heart to closer walk with him, he can grant it. Precious Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity. And Lord, we thank you for your word that you've left us on printed page. For the Holy Scriptures, Lord, that you made sure was recorded as a roadmap to lead us and to guide us, Lord, into all truths. And Father, we just ask that through the leadership of the Holy Spirit that you would take these precious words. Lord, you know each and every one of us. You know what we have need of. Lord, you know how serious we are. You know how sincere we are. But Lord, I pray that you will take your Holy Spirit and catch our attention greater. That Lord, time is about to wrap up. We are coming to the end of the road. And Lord, there's a work to be done. And Lord, may we be a people that are in the harness, Lord, looking for every move and every action to be Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, letting you lead us and let us surrender ourselves greater unto you. We pray your blessings upon your word. Lord, we pray you'll bless each heart here today. Bless those that couldn't be here that wish to be. Strengthen them. And Lord, those that may be slick or afflicted among us, just touch their bodies, Lord, and raise them up. And Lord, we're just so thankful that you brought Brother and Sister Samba back today. Lord, we appreciate that. And Father, we just thank you for everything that you've done and are doing for us. And we ask your blessings upon each one as they travel back to their homes. Lord, you keep them safe. Give them traveling mercy. And Father, if you should tarry and it be your will till we gather again, may we come hungry asking you to feed us of thy precious word. And we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and ask these things. Amen. Footprints of Jesus leading the way. Footprints of Jesus by night and by day. If I would follow, my life would be sweet. Following Jesus and his wounded feet. Amen. May God richly bless you. You're all dismissed. Amen.